The Lord be with you.
Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We're glad you're here. We do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you. You may fill it out and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. And of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. Welcome, as always, to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. We are glad you're with us, too. At this time, too, for those of you who are here, I'd encourage you to sign the fellowship pads. Sign your name, pass your neighbor. Feel free to greet any new faces by name during the piece or following worship. On the inside cover of your bulletin, we have announcements of upcoming events. There are just a few I want to highlight for you this morning. One of our visitors who will welcome later in worship is Melissa Pedro from City of Refuge, who will share a word with us about opportunities to get involved with that organization and what they're doing in our community. And so we'll look forward to hearing from you in a little bit, Melissa. We're glad you're with us this morning. All are welcome to join us for lunch upstairs in Hollis Hall following worship. Even if you haven't RSVP'd, we'd love to have you and share a meal together. So do hope you can plan to stay a few extra minutes for that following worship. Last but certainly not least, you'll notice that I'm joined up here by another person in a robe today. This is the Reverend Dr. Joel Alvis. Since May, Joel has been serving us as the stated clerk and mission coordinator of Cherokee Presbytery. That is the body that oversees us and other Presbyterian churches in Northwest Georgia with whom we are connected and share common ministry and life together. And so at this time, I'd like to invite Joel forward to share a word of greeting from the presbytery.
Thank you, Will. I am so pleased to be here with you today, worshiping and participating in this time Sunday, and also a Sunday when you will ordain and install a new class of elders for your leadership, and that's wonderful to do. Presbyterians are connected in many different ways over time, and I've been reminded of this as I've prepared to come. Walter Jones and Gene Jones, we were together for a season in my ministry when I was serving the Northminster Presbyterian Church in Roswell, Georgia, as an associate pastor, and they were there. We had a Kirken of the Tartan service then, and Walter was kind enough to loan me his kilt, and so I appreciate that very much. There are so many others. Jody Johnson was on the committee that interviewed me to take on this work that I was here for. And Robert Smalley is a part of the synod that we're part of as doing work with the Permanent Judicial Commission. Sue Spivey has been an encourager and friend, and she's reminded me of the ways that we are connected and the ways in which we come together, and has brought to my mind the work that Chris Townley did for the presbytery as moderator and in so many other ways. And so all of these things are connections that we have. At our last presbytery meeting in November, we did an exercise. I don't know if you can see this or there'll be a glare on it, but this is a sheet that's made out like a cross, and it has all the names of the churches of Cherokee Presbytery. And everybody who attended, the 80-some-odd people who attended, were encouraged to go by and put on every single sheet a thumbprint, and Dalton is highlighted right here. And so in a sense, these thumbprints are representations of prayers that we shared at that particular presbytery meeting, but this is also a visual representation of the 30 churches and the honorably retired ministers and the validated ministries that we share together. And that is what we do in Cherokee Presbytery. We share community and life together. So it is a great opportunity and a great privilege for me to be here to join you in worship this morning. Thank you very much.
For all of you who have done so much to be a part of our connectional church and to exercise leadership and service at the presbytery and the synod and the denominational level. At this time, now I'd like to offer any of you the opportunity who have announcements to please stand and share with the church.
Thank you, Luke. Just wanted to remind everyone that the youth are holding Operation Warm through next Sunday. Please bring your donations of hats, gloves, coats, blankets. We'll be happy to take those, and you can leave them out in the narthex. We will be sorting them the following Sunday. Also, remember, just a heads up, we'll start putting it in the weekly newsletter, but Operation Super Bowl is Sunday, February 2nd, so the children and youth will be asking for your donations. The Operation Warm donations all go to the City of Refuge, and the Super Bowl of Caring donations will go to the food bank here in town.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. Are there any others? Let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors. Please stand for the call to worship. The Spirit of God is upon us. We are called to be God's people. The Spirit of God is upon us. We are called to be the body of Christ. Come, let us worship God, who binds us together in love and service. And let us pray together. Holy God, you sent Jesus to be baptized among sinners, to seek and to save the lost. May we who claim this baptism never turn away from the world, but reach out in love to show the way to the door of redemption and be faithful in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. And together we pray. Lord God, you call us to be your presence, your body in this world. But too often we get caught up in being a hand or a foot and lose sight of the overarching mission you have set before us. We fracture into pieces. We go our separate ways, forgetting we need each other to be whole. You have given us your law to be our guide. But we turn our backs on what we see as rules and restrictions, fearful that we will not live up to your expectations. Help us to see with new eyes and hear with the ears of our heart the liberating spirit of the law that strengthens and revives and enables us to be and do all you call us to be and do. God of liberation and justice, help us be faithful witnesses to your law of love and unity. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. This time I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. Come on down. It's good to be with you all this morning. All right, in a little bit in the worship service, we're going to do something that we only do once a year. It's very special. We're going to ordain and install elders. Does anyone know what an elder is? Yeah, Andrew.
A person who is old.
A person who is old. That's a very good guess. So, I, your dad's been an elder. Is your dad old? This is the important question. No? Okay. All right. I'm sure he's flattered. So maybe it's not just people who are old, right? Although some of us feel old sometimes. You want to try again? Yeah. A grown-up? It can be a grown-up, sure. Does anyone else want to take a guess? What's an elder in our church? So an elder is someone very special. That's someone who helps us lead the church by serving all the people out here. So all the things that we do together by worshiping, by collecting warm things for people outside or preparing food upstairs, and all that, we're led by elders. Yeah, were you going to say something? God, always a good answer when we're up here. Well, that'll take us to the next thing. So what we think is that God picks all of the people we call to be elders who are going to help us in the church in a special way. But there's one thing that we all do together, and God picks each one of us to help in the church. And do you know how we remember that?
Say prayers.
Say prayers? Yeah, that's important. That's how we listen for God. God picks each one of us to do something special in the church. You are special, and there's no one else who can do exactly what you can do here in this church, in praying and serving and loving all the people here. And what's that place where we go where we say, God has picked us, and God loves us, and God's going to help us to follow? What is that? I'll give you a hint. There's a piece of furniture up here, and we use it. It's another thing we use on special occasions where we say, God has picked this person for something important. Yeah.
The
cross. Yeah, the baptismal font. You're right. So ordinate, when we bring the elders forward and we pray over them and we say, God has chosen these people, it's just like every time we go up and we baptize a baby or a grown-up and say, God has picked this person because they're special in our church, and they're going to help us do something that no one else out there can help, just like each one of you was chosen and brought by God to that place. And that's the place where God said, I love you, and I choose you. So thank you for being a part of our church and helping in this special way. And maybe as you remember your baptism, one day you'll find out that you too are going to be an elder in the church. All right. Let's put our hands together and close in prayer. Will you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for loving us, for choosing us, and helping us to serve. Teach us the way, how we are to share, and love, and serve in your name. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, will you hold still as we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here. As we prepare to hear the word of God for us in Scripture, let us pray. Holy and gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that your presence would shine through this word to the deepest and most protected places of our hearts, that we would discover who you are and who you have called us to be. In Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Listen for God's word to you. All the people gathered into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathias, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his right hand, Pedadiah, and Mishael, and Malchijah, and Hasum, and Hashbadanah, and Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing up above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Yamin, Ahub, Shabethai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with the interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go on your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Be to God. It is a privilege to be here and to share in worship leadership with you. I have been impressed with First Presbyterian Church of Dalton in my interactions over a number of times and with a number of reasons, but maybe the most impressed I was this past week when I received an email from Aaron which included a proof for the bulletin. And there was a whole host of people who were listed on that. I didn't count them, but I was really impressed. And so there was quite a good conversation about that. And as we were coming in to worship today, I realized that there's a typo. But it's not her fault, and it's not the proofreader's fault. It's my fault, because I sent the wrong scripture reading to be listed. So you have in your bulletin 2 Corinthians 12 through 19 that is printed there, and it's supposed to be, what I'm going to preach about is 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to look along in your own scripture or on your own device, please let us do that. But let us listen to these words from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, that we may allow God's Spirit to speak to us. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the summer of 1951, there was a young man named Joe. He was a World War II veteran and a medical student in Memphis, Tennessee. That summer, he wrote a series of letters to his new girlfriend, Martha Jean. She was away from town visiting friends in Virginia. They had only been dating a few months when he wrote these letters to her, and none of her responses remain. But in them, in these letters that do remain, Joe talks to her about his medical classes and exams and things that are happening with friends, and mostly about how much he is looking forward to having her return to town. There is really nothing special about these letters, so why would I bother mentioning them to you? Well, as it happens, Joe is my father, and Martha Jean, the woman to whom he wrote them, is my mother. And I found them a few years ago when we were preparing to celebrate their 60th anniversary. They had survived somehow or another. They had survived a number of moves, and as my parents were selling their home in Montreat, I was the one that ended up with that stuff. I don't know if any of y'all have been in that situation where you receive the things that are passed on to you, but that was where we were. And as I sorted through these things that on the occasion of the 60th anniversary, I came across these letters, and it gave me a different view of my parents' relationship. I discovered that there was a time when Joe and Martha Jean, one, were not married, and two, did not have any children. There was a time when I wasn't around. Wow. That's a kind of startling thing to think about. But it was also a gift. These letters opened a world that I had not really thought about very much beforehand. I had known about it, but it gave me this view of them that was very different. Letters do that. Sometimes we discover letters in our lives that have been, we didn't even know existed or may have been thought or had been lost, but they tell us something different. In a sense, the Bible is a letter. It is a letter to humanity, from the very beginning to the very end, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It talks about how God loves humanity and how God cares for us and how things sometimes don't go right, very well, maybe very often don't go right. Yet, despite all of that, God's love remains true. The tale that comes from Ezra and Nehemiah that is part of the reading that that Will shared with you, that speaks of a part of the history of the children of Israel that was a long time ago, but was a very difficult time, because there was a time in the life of the children of Israel when they were defeated in battle, and they were captive. Literally, they were captive, and a large number of their leaders were taken and removed almost 1,000 miles away from where they lived in Jerusalem to Babylon on the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates River. And there they lived for more than 60 years until that kingdom was defeated and a new kingdom came in. Persia came in, and the Persians didn't want them there, and they just said, you can go back to your land, and they did. But that period of wailing, that period of waiting was a difficult period, and it's one that gives us this sense of how long, O Lord, can this thing, kind of thing go on? How long can bad things happen? Many of the Psalms speak of that, how long. And that is where the Psalms come, many of them come from. In the midst of all of this sorrow and dismay, Ezra and Nehemiah are sent back to Jerusalem to lead the people out. And Ezra discovers old books of the Bible, the Torah, and he lifts them up, and it's like letters that had been long lost or maybe not paid attention to much. And he says, we need to pay more attention to this. And Nehemiah says, we need to pay more attention to these. And so the story that those few verses point to was the culmination of the rebuilding of the temple and the building of the walls of Jerusalem, things that gave definition and purpose and identity to the children of Israel. It points to there being hope, and there being goodness, and there being life. And it's the ways in which these letters opened up a new way of living. It rekindles their love of God, and they use it to reach out and to find ways of having their purpose. But Ezra and Nehemiah use this not only for reaching out and finding ways for inclusion and hope in the world, they also dig down into it and they find places where they can exclude others. One of the things that happened in this period of exile was that there were a number of Jews who remained in Jerusalem. And during that time away, they married into some of the other native tribes that were there that were not Jewish. So there was intermarriage that happened. And when Ezra came back, he called on these people to divorce. Not so much because the Lord said so, but it was the will of the political leadership at the time that demanded it. And Nehemiah led in the rebuilding of the walls, and what might have been a time to build something that all people could then join into became a time to separate out purposes. And the walls of the city were not a definition of what could be, but they were a division of what was. Yet even so, these scriptures teach us that there is spiritual renewal, because where there had been devastation, the people came back to vitality. The people confessed their sins. They rekindled their celebrations. Yet, even so, something was missing. There was not what the prophet Jeremiah called for when he called out, "I will put a new law in them. I will write it on their hearts." And not what the prophet Ezekiel said when the word is the word of the Lord, "A new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Those things weren't quite there. There was movement toward them, but they weren't quite there. And so the letters that offered promise resulted in something different. That need for a new heart, that need to experience God in a new way, we call it conversion, a turning around. And sometimes it's quite dramatic, and at other times it's not so dramatic. But we see this in the letters that we find in the world around us, the letters of Scripture. And we lament when we read them again what was and what was not. These dramatic things, though, can point to us something that is different. Because God didn't give up on us. God sent Jesus to be into the world. God sent the power of God's love to be made real in Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. We're here because that letter from long ago, that letter, God's letter of love to humanity, is still known and made real in the world. And we are, in the words of Scripture, the body of Christ. Paul the Apostle shared that image with us in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 4. Christ is the head of the church, but you also might say Christ is the heart of the church. And we are parts of that body. And from that heart, that legacy speaks to us today. Eugene Peterson was a Presbyterian minister and a writer. And he translated the whole Bible in the version called The Message. You may be familiar with it. He translated the scripture I read from 1 Corinthians this way. I want you to know how being part of the body keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. The lower the part of the body, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but you cannot live without a stomach. When it's a part of your body, you are concerned. It makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts of your body than the higher. If you had to choose, would you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Peterson continues the paraphrase this way. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part is dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, other parts also hurt. If one part is healed, other parts also are healed. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into that exuberance. It's quite amazing. If one little part of us hurts, when our sons were young, they loved to play with Legos and Duplos. And one night, one of our sons called out in the middle of the night, and I went in to see what was the matter. I was barefooted, and he had on his floor lots of those little toys, you know, those little plastic things. And I didn't turn the light on, and I stepped on one of them. And my toe really, really hurt. And I said something. My toe hurt, but my mouth spoke. You know how that works? we are connected. Our bodies, our physical bodies are connected, and so also are we in the church. When one part of us in Dalton, Georgia, or Cherokee Presbytery hurts, the whole body of Christ hurts. When one part of us is ecstatic and happy, we all have reason to be glad and to know that it happens. We all stand on this opportunity to allow ourselves to be changed and shifted and even converted. Sometimes it happens in big ways and sometimes in not so big ways. We need each other. We all, even in our needing each other, we do not always agree with each other. We don't always have to agree with each other. We don't always sing unison. We also sing harmony. And it can make for a beautiful voice and a beautiful sound. A number of years ago, the writer Anne Lamott did a TED Talk on 12 Truths I Learned from Life and Writing. It's one of those things that pops around on social media. You may have seen it. It's a great thing. And if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to check it out. 12 Truths I Learned from Life and Writing. As it happened, I had admired her writing when this was shared with me, and I quoted it in a sermon one Sunday. And I identified that Anne Lamott is a Presbyterian. She's a member of a church in Oakland, California. And she writes about that quite freely. As I was standing at the door and people were leaving, a member of the church spoke to me and he said, you know, my daughter has sent this same link to me and it's really great and I'm glad you mentioned it and it's really wonderful and I didn't know that she was a Presbyterian, and that led us into a conversation. The man the church member is a retired FBI agent, and so we talked about that, and I sent him some links to some other writings that she had done, and he came back to me and he says, you know, Joel, I really don't agree with much else that she's ever written. But what she wrote there was really, really good, and I like it. And I thought, that's the way we are in the church. We can find things that we disagree with, yet we also know that there are ways in which we are bound together. And we are bound together in such a profound and important way by being the body of Christ that we can give witness to each other. And we allow ourselves the opportunity to do that. We have the letters, which the letter of God's love that we know in Scripture, but we also share that in the life that we have together. As we just shared with singing with the children as they left, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. But we also know that Jesus loves us not simply because the Bible tells us so, but because someone has told us so. Someone in some place at some time in our life has told us that God loves us. Each and every one of us here today, each and every one watching on Facebook, anybody that we come into contact with, somebody needs to tell you that God loves you. And if you've not been told that, consider yourself told. God loves you. And that makes a difference in the world. We can lament things that we have not done well. We can lament our circumstances. But our legacy is that of love. A legacy of love that will change ourselves. It will allow us to abide and live with people with whom we don't agree. We'll have to figure it out. It's not always easy. It's not always pretty. But we can do it because God's love, God's power is great in the world. We are the body of Christ. We are part of something that is larger. It's not just here in Dalton. It's not just Presbyterian. Methodist and Baptist and Catholics all are part of this larger body of Christ who follow Jesus. We are the body of Christ as we learn from the letters of God's love. We are the body of Christ when we lament our circumstances and cry out, how long? We are the body of Christ when we listen to different voices and find in their words things that we may not have considered, or even words that may be the divine way of speaking to us in that moment, at that time. We are the body of Christ together. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite forward our elders to be ordained and installed, Hilliard Jolly, Wesley Sanders, and Betty Steinmetz. Together we make up a part of the body of Christ, and each of us individually have gifts and talents to share, special things that God has called us to do, ways God has called us to serve. And so every year we gather together, and through a long process we listen to the Spirit of God, the voice of God, who says, these are the people who I have called to serve and lead and love in this congregation. And so today we welcome them, we charge them, we accept commitments, we make our own commitments to support and listen to and pray for them as they undertake this journey as elders and servants in our church. So as one church, we share a common faith. Will you stand and join in our affirmation of faith as we consider our own commitments to God. In life and in death, we belong to God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in the church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. Gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks, to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus," with believers in every time and place. We rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. On behalf of the session of First Presbyterian Church, I present Betty Steinmetz and Wesley Sanders for ordination and installation as ruling elders, and Hilliard Jolly for installation as ruling elder. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the church universal, and God's word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church, as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you?
I do.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you?
I will.
Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And this is for you, the members of First Presbyterian Church. Do you, as members of the church, accept Hilliard Jolly, Wesley Sanders, and Betty Steinmetz as ruling elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you agree to pray for them, to encourage them to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do you? This time I'd like to invite forward all those who have been ordained as ruling and teaching elders in the Presbyterian Church to come forward and join us for the laying on of hands. Betty, Wesley, and Hilliard, we welcome you to leadership and service in the church. May God bless your ministries and all that you do among us here. Please be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward Alice Ensley and Melissa Pedro to share a word about City of Refuge and ways we are being called to serve in our community.
City of Refuge is a growing organization in our community that provides support for low-income families. These supports include transitional housing, a food pantry, a clothing store, educational programs, and hot meals. Our mission team has formed a partnership with City of Refuge as we have financially supported many of these programs. Today I want to introduce my friend and colleague, Melissa Pedro. Melissa is a Dalton Public School educator and now is Director of Education at City of Refuge. Melissa is currently managing the recent grant that was received by Dalton Public Schools and City of Refuge for after-school programming. And today she's going to update us on the important work of City of Refuge and let us know some hands-on volunteer opportunities.
So thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much to your church for the partnership we have already forged. The mission team, Alice has introduced me to the mission team and just the work that you guys do. For two summers, the mission team of the Presbyterian Church has supported our summer program in both offering field trips. The funds that were provided, we were able to actually take our students on field trips in the community, as well as the funds have gone to use for instructional supplies and for other things. And then recently, they have made a donation to sponsor two of our classrooms that we will have in our new Youth and Education Center. We will have two classrooms, a math classroom and a literacy classroom, that has been donated from the Presbyterian Church, and we are so grateful for that. Additionally, they have sponsored hot meals for the past couple of months and have catered them in, and our students have been served those meals. And we also would like to ask and just encourage and ask you to volunteer, to partner, to come and meet our students, to come and engage with them on January 21st for our hot meal program. As I was listening here just to the sermon, and when the scripture was just preached about the body of Christ and how we're all parts of the same body. I just was thinking about our Kid City program, which is our after-school program, and how, if you think of it metaphorically, as a body that has many parts and functions, there are so many things and so many people and so many roles that work together to make that successful. The Kid City After School program, in which I am the director of, it's a holistic program. We really do want to help our students thrive and excel in the future. Discipleship is a key component of that as we start our day each day with character education, because City of Refuge is a faith-based nonprofit. And then we provide all of our students an hour of academic time and then enrichment programs and enrichment activities where students have the opportunity to have physical fitness, teaching and social emotional learning through growth mindset concepts and just more character education. We have partnerships with local community organizations like Culprit and So's Martial Arts, in which they come and provide those kinds of opportunities for our kids that who may never otherwise get to participate in a Taekwondo class or who may never get to actually go to Culprit and be a part of their training. And then the academic component of it is really just to kind of close those academic gaps that so many of our students have. And then another key part of that, and a part that you've already partnered in, is the hot meal program. We feed our students dinner every night before they go home. And they wouldn't necessarily get a hot meal every single night, but that's something that we ensure through local churches and local organizations that partner with the City of Refuge. So on January 21st, which is the Tuesday after the Martin Luther King holiday, we are so thankful that you've already accepted just the challenge to feed our students, but we would also love to encourage 6 to 7 of your congregation to volunteer their time. It could be youth, it could be something you do as a family, you could bring your children to help, but you would just serve that food that is already being prepared by Kelly's Restaurant, I think, and you would come and interact with the students, come and just see them, have conversation with them, introduce yourself to them, and just let them know that you love them and that you care for them. So we are so thankful once again for everything you are doing, and I would love to answer any questions anybody does have, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa, and for all the good work that you do at City of Refuge, and to all of you who have shared your time and thought of ways to serve. We are looking for 6 to 7 volunteers on the 21st, and hopefully maybe going forward this is something that our congregation can commit to regularly. You can volunteer through the church office, speak to Alice Inslee or Margaret Venable from the missions team. As we consider the ways God is calling us to serve, to give, to share ourselves, let us offer our prayers to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, we're here because we remember. We remember that at the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters of chaos and called life out of the depths. We remember that Jacob found blessing in crossing a river. We remember that your people moved from slavery to freedom through the waters of the sea. And we remember how your people realized the promise of your love by crossing over the Jordan. And especially we remember that time that Jesus came to the waters to be baptized by John and heard your voice, your powerful voice, and called him beloved. We ask that this day of worship would remind us of your gifts through our story of faith, through our own lives, and through our baptism, that you would claim us and empower us to work with you by the gift of your Spirit in this time and in this place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we're grateful for the extravagance of your gifts which find their way into our community, for the delight of worship in a space of rest and peace and warmth, for the faithfulness of those who consider others and give clothes and comfort for people who have no place to go and for whom the temperature outside can be a matter of life and death. We pray for those who will receive our gifts, for recipients of clothing in the middle of winter, for recipients of food at City of Refuge. We ask that you bless their ministry and all who are served by them, those who need it to find food and warmth, support and encouragement, and above all, your hope, which sustains us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we're grateful for the way of life you have called us into and for sharing your mission in Jesus Christ. And so we pray for our new elders this morning, for Hilliard, Wesley, and Betty, that you would carry them in the waters of your love and give them everything they need to serve and lead. Give them your wisdom and encouragement, compassion, nothing less than your presence as they listen for your Spirit and guide us in your life together. We thank you for the many gifts you have spread across our church and our community and our region, for connecting us in one body, the church. We pray for the ministry of Cherokee Presbytery and for Joel Alvis and his leadership, that together we might be faithful representatives of Jesus Christ in this place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we remember those in our community with special needs this season, for those who are sick, for Kay Clark as she recovers from surgery, for Greg George, for Dick Lowry. For all these, we ask your comfort, healing, and peace. Let the same Spirit who came to Christ in baptism heal those who are sick and comfort all who struggle or mourn or doubt. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These and all our prayers we offer in Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who calls us in baptism and gives us his Spirit to follow and to pray in the way Christ teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us return our gifts to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we're grateful for your gifts, which appear in surprising places, but meet us every week here in this place. We pray that your Spirit would move in our lives and through all that we give today, that it might be for the building up of the body of Christ, for feeding the hungry, for clothing those who need it, for offering your hope and your healing in this place and beyond our imaginations into the creation you love. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.